Stand with us, please, this morning. Turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. If you don't know where Genesis is, go to the very first part of your Bible. It's the first book, very first chapter. Genesis chapter 1, reading two verses of Scripture, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, say God said,
God said,
let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. I want us to look at, for a few moments, the likeness of my Father. The likeness of my Father. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Thank you for your spirit and your presence, your glory we feel here in this house right now. And Lord, we just ask that your glory would just even become greater. Lord, let the presence and power of the Lord Jesus Christ, just Lord, just fill our hearts and our minds, let we be drawn to you, Lord, especially our fathers and our men today, and all of us, God. Help us to see some things we may not have remembered or thought about in a long time, but God, help us to see the importance of what your word has to say this morning. God, anoint me your servant to speak what you have laid upon our heart, but God, help us to strive to put the word in practice in our hearts and our lives. And we give you the praise. And all God's people said, amen. So God created man in his own image. He said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. That word image means the resemblance, the representative, the form, the qualities, the characteristics. The word likeness means the resemblance, the model, the shape, to be fashioned, the manner of, the similitude. Today, as we come today in honor and recognize our fathers, both biological and our stepdads, as well as men that have had a positive impact upon our lives in so many ways, such as spiritual fathers that have had a powerful spiritual impact on our lives. To all these, we say thank you. Dads, we appreciate you. We love you and we honor you on this day known as Father's Day. On this day, we think of all the great fathers in the Bible that had such an impact and influence in Scripture, as well as on us today. And as we study and have looked over their lives, and as we have thought about them, and we talk about them on Father's Day, men like Adam, Abraham, the father of nations, Isaac, Jacob, the patriarchs, Job, Joseph, in the Old Testament, Moses, the father of the nation of Israel. And then we go to the New Testament. We see Zacchaeus, the father of John the Baptist. We see Joseph. And why do you always mention stepdads? Because the Son of God had a stepfather named Joseph that was given the responsibility of raising the Heavenly Father's son. In that culture, the father had the greatest responsibility. And Joseph did an awesome job. Can you say amen? We think about Jairus, the father of the little girl that had died that went to Jesus. And we don't even know this guy's name, but he was the father of the demon-possessed boy that had tried everything he could to get his son delivered. He even brought his son to the disciples, but they couldn't cast him out, but he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And Jesus told the father, he said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And that father cried out, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. It was the interaction of that father that got his son delivered. Can you say amen? We think about Cornelius, that Roman soldier that Peter was sent to, and his whole house wound up getting saved, but he was the first. We think about that Philippian jailer who had imprisoned Paul and Silas, and God literally shook the prison. And again, he came busting in and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and your house. Again, it was the father of the household that got saved first. Can you say amen? Amen. His whole house got saved and baptized. So many great examples of fathers that came to know the Lord and had a great impact on their families, as well as many others that they came into contact with. Even on us today, we are learning from their examples. But the greatest example of an awesome father that we acknowledge many times, but we, for whatever reason, don't seem to look at on Father's Day, is our Heavenly Father. Possibly we may not look at Him so much on this day because we feel there's absolutely no way that we could ever measure up to being even anywhere close to the Father that He is, that He has already been, and that He always will be. I love the song we sing. He is a good, good Father. Can you say amen? But what we've got to think about is this, and what the Lord's really been laying on my heart is this. But think about this, especially today, for us today, men. I want us to think about this, and ladies, it applies to you too. In creating us, He purposely created us in His image and in His likeness. He purposely created us in His image and His likeness. He didn't create any animal in His image or in His likeness. He didn't create any plant, any tree, or any planet in His image and in His likeness. He created you and I as His utmost of creation in His image and His likeness. In other words, we live in a very technological age, and many times, come on somebody, I'm so excited for what happened at Kyle giving heart to the Lord a while ago, I'm about to shout. Thank you, Lord. I think I'll just go ahead and shout. Amen. But we are such a technological age, but when we buy a computer, many times that computer comes with pre-installed hardware in order that when we learn how to use it, it can make that computer work a whole lot better. Well, God in creating, that's not a new concept. God in creating us in His image and in His likeness pre-installed His nature and His characteristics within us. He pre-installed His taste. We are created in His image and in His likeness. He pre-installed His qualities. He pre-installed His nature. He pre-installed Himself within each and every one of His creation. It's just a matter if we are going to tap into it or not. Can you say amen? He did all this in order that you and I could have close fellowship with Him. He did all this, number two, that He could reveal Himself to us and that we could draw close to Him on a close, personal basis. That we could identify with His nature, and that His nature can identify with us. That we can grow in Him and He in us, because His nature has been pre-installed in us. That's just part of why we were created in His image and in His likeness. Well, what's the problem, Brother Doss? When sin entered into the world, through Adam and Eve, it greatly diminished His image and His likeness within us. In fact, it brought about a great separation. Sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from His image. Sin separates us from His likeness. Can you say amen? Amen. But God already had a plan in place. Can you say amen? God said, the scripture says, Jesus was slain from the very foundation of the world. God in His infinite wisdom sent Christ into the world to pay the price for mine and your sin debt, so that you and I could be saved and set free from sin, but also that His likeness and His image could be restored and renewed in our lives, that we could grow more and more into His image and His likeness till one day we can see Him face to face. Can you say amen? In other words, God sent Jesus that we can take on His image once again. Can you say amen? That we can identify with His likeness, that we can grow more in His likeness. Where do you get that, Brother Doss? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, say we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. as we have given our hearts to the Lord and as we walk in obedience and live in obedience to Him, we are being changed. I'm not what I was. I'm not where I'm going to be, but I'm being changed. I'm not being changed to become a better Greg. I'm being changed to become more like Jesus. Can you say amen? I'm becoming to take on the likeness of my Father, because I was created in His image and created in His likeness. Can you say amen? As we grow in Him, we are being changed more and more into His image by His glory. What does that mean? It means experiencing His nearness, experiencing His love, experiencing His righteousness and power through prayer, through the Word, through the Holy Spirit, while abiding in Him and His Word. It's experiencing Him through drawing close to Jesus. It results in our being transformed into His likeness. And this age of transformation, this time of transformation, it's progressive and it's partial. But when Jesus comes back, the Bible says we shall behold Him face to face, and then our transformation will be complete. The Scripture says when He comes back, we shall see Him as He is, for we shall be like Him. We, the likeness of God, will be fulfilled in our lives. Can you say amen? We are going to be like Him. And that's what God intended in the first place. Can you say amen? That's why He created us in His image and in His likeness, that we should be complete in Him. I just want us to look at a few of His characteristics. There's no way we could preach for years and not cover all His characteristics. I just want us to look at a few of His characteristics that we should not only look at, but strive for, because it is the greatest example we ever have. See, so many times I think we have not talked about it or striving to have the likeness of our Father because we thought it was not attainable. Let me tell you again, He's already pre-installed all the hardware, so it is attainable. In my flesh, there's no way I can do it. In myself, there's no way I can do it. Oh, but through Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Can you say amen? I like what Paul said. He says, John the Baptist says, he said, I must decrease, but He must increase. I must take on more of His image and His likeness. Can you say amen? All the fruits of the Spirit He possesses in full beyond measure because He is the source of them. And those can be produced in our lives as we seek to become more like Him. And fathers, there's no greater example you and I could follow or strive after than the example of our Heavenly Father. Let's look at just a few likenesses of our Father as we strive to have His likeness within us. Are y'all with me this morning? Number one, He is merciful. I love that song they sang. It says, show me your glory. That came out of the passage in Genesis when God had Moses on the mountain, and Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. And He says, I can't let you see my face because no man has seen my face and lived. He said, but I am going to let all my glory pass by, and I'm going to hide you in a cleft. And when I pass by you, I'm going to pull my hand back, and I'm going to let you see my hinder part, because no man can see my face and live, but you're going to see my glory. And when God passed by Moses and He pulled His hand back, He proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful. The first aspect of God's known nature that He mentioned Himself was merciful. Yes. He is a merciful God. He is a mighty God. Where would you and I be without His mercy? The word mercy is compassion, not just compassion. It is the desire and the ability to get involved and change the situation of those in need or those who are in misfortune. Oh, I wouldn't even want to, I'd hate the thought to try to understand where I would be at without His mercy. Can you say amen? The Bible says in the New Testament that we have to come boldly and humbly to the throne room of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Before we get a hold of anything, we got to go to a merciful Father and obtain, to receive, to get a hold of, to accept His mercy in our time of need. Not by righteous works which we have done, but according to His great mercy, He has saved us and redeemed us. Can you say amen? Why? Because He's a merciful God. And if we are going to have the likeness of our Father, then you and I have to be merciful as well. In fact, Jesus gives us a command. Luke chapter 6, verse 36, therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. His mercy to us is the basis of our mercy that we extend to others. That's mercy. Again, the compassion with the desire and ability to get involved in another circumstance and situation and to change it. Being merciful must begin in our homes. It must begin with our spouses. It must begin with our children. It must begin with our families. It must begin with our church family, then the world around us, which begins at our front door. And as we have received and experienced His great mercy, we are to show and to share that mercy with those we come in contact with, thereby exhibiting the likeness of our Father, who is merciful. Number two, He is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Verse 16 of 1 John 4 says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. In verse 19 of 1 John 4 says, we love him because he first loved us. God is loved. He first loved us. Our first priority is to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. So that nature, his likeness, his image can begin to flow in and through our life through that element called love. Jesus said in Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There are no other commandments greater than these. We are to love him and love others, not with our words only, but with our heart, with our motives, with our actions as well. Jesus reiterated this in John chapter 13. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. He reiterated it twice in that one scripture. He says, you've got to love one another as I have loved you. In other words, as his nature and as his mercy and as his image has reached out to us, as his love has poured out to us, we are to love, share that love with one another. Can you say amen? We are to share it with a lost and dying world. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. And friends, I want to tell you, worldly love is not going to get you anywhere. But when you've got the love of God shining in your life and through your life, it will change another person's life. Can you say amen? Why? Because his likeness has changed you. They're not seeing you, they're seeing the likeness, the resemblance, I love this, the shadow of the Father's face upon you. Amen. Through the love that he has bestowed upon us. Can you say amen? We are to love especially those within the body. Jesus said, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Love is to be the basis of all interaction with God and with others. In that great chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, it says, now abideth all these three, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Men, dads, may we strive to love, have that agape love, that self-sacrificing love, as our fathers have loved us. That's not being a wimp. That's being the man that God called us to be, because that's being like our Father. Can you say amen? He's a God of love. He is good. We say this, God is good and all the time. He's full of goodness. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. The Lord is good when? He's always good. But especially to those who wait. That word wait means to wait for, to hope for, to expect. That word good means he's beneficial. I love this definition. He's beautiful. He's gracious. He blesses. He promises. He does. He's good to those who seek him, to those who wait for him. God is so good to us. He has blessed us in so many ways. The old time saints used to say, God's been better to me than I've been to myself. That's the way he usually is. Can you say amen? He has done so much for us. He has provided everything we need in order to live and overcome in this life. And not only to live and overcome in this life, but He's prepared a place for us in the next. Can you say amen? Not because of our goodness, but only because of His goodness. Can you say amen? Why? Because He's a good, good Father. Can you say amen? No good thing will He withhold to them who walk uprightly, because He's full of goodness and truth. And if we're going to have His likeness, we've got to share that goodness. We are to share that goodness with others. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all. As we do good, we are a reflection and a resemblance of our Father, because He's good. Everything, the things, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father, with whom is no variableness or shadow of turning. Can you say amen? Amen. He is good to us. And therefore, we are to share that goodness with others. We are to be a reflection of His goodness. Number four, He's a God of truth. Can you say amen? Psalms 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good. We just covered that. His mercy is everlasting. Hey, we just covered that. And His truth endures to all generations. His truth endures because He is truth. He is true. His word is true. His Son is truth. His Spirit is the Spirit of truth. John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Can you say amen? Amen. We are saved. We are set free. We are sanctified by His truth. We are to be people of the truth. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you what? Free. Hallelujah. Why? Because that truth, there's power in the truth of God, in the truth of this word, and the truth of His nature. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the truth. You know, there. Oprah say there's many ways to get to God. I don't really give a flip what Oprah says. I hope she gets saved, because she's not. People say you're narrow-minded. We can be, because we have the answer. But we want them to have the answer. Because Jesus declared, He says, I am not a way, but the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's only through Jesus. It's only through that precious blood. It's only through that cross of Calvary and that the resurrection power that you and I can be saved and experience the truth of His word and the truth of His love and the truth of His mercy and the truth of His grace. John said in 3 John chapter 1 verse 4, y'all still with me this morning? He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. Why? Notice He didn't say that they're walking in wealth. Notice He didn't say that they're walking in popularity. Notice He didn't say that they're walking in prosperity. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. Because if we're walking in truth, we are a reflection of our Father. We are walking in the likeness of our Father, who is the truth. His ways are truth. His character is true. His nature are true, is true. And we as His children are to live and operate in His truth. Can you say amen? That's just a few aspects of His nature. But He has a love for some folks. He has a love for some folks. Can you say amen? He has a love for His bride. Who is the bride? The church, you and I, us. Not the building, but the body. Not the building, but the body. We are the bride of Christ. In Ephesians, Paul writing in Ephesians talks about the relationship between a husband and wife, just like the relationship between God the Father and the body, or the Lord Jesus Christ and the body, the bride. Ephesians chapter 25, you know, and so many times, when I'm counseling with folks, and so many times, you know, guys, we get stuck on that first part of the wives' responsibility. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband as the church does to Jesus, you know. Boy, we like that part. You've got to submit. That's the wrong attitude. Because they only have two verses that they've got to follow after. If you read the whole thing, guys, we've got like five or six verses we've got to follow after. We've got the biggest responsibility. Because look at the responsibility. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. Beginning of verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Verses 28 and 29 says, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. He, God, loves the church. The Father loves the church. He loves the bride. Why? Because his Son is the bridegroom. Can you say amen? He is a good, good father, and he loves his bride. He sent his son to be the bridegroom. He gave the bride everything she needed in order to be able to be adorned in beauty and peace and power and glory. Can you say amen? Boy, what a mandate it is for you and I as men that we are to love our wives as Christ loves the church. As the church, again, we are the bride of Christ. Christ did everything and provided everything and gave the church everything we need in order to make it. And we are to have that love for our wives in the same way. The scripture says we are to nourish her and to cherish her and to lift her up. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. If we fulfill our responsibility, they wouldn't have any problem whatsoever fulfilling their responsibility. Wow. I got some ways to go. Don't say amen, honey. But here's the awesome thing. Men, not only will we take on the likeness of our Father, but when we love our wives as Christ loved the church, we will set an example for our children of what a father and a husband is to be. And that is lacking in America in such many ways in this day and age. It's all about as we take on the likeness of our Father. He loves his bride. Number six, he loves his children. Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. Y'all still with me this morning? For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Once we are saved, we become a new creature in Christ, but we have been adopted into the family of God. It didn't say that we have to cry out Almighty God, and that he is, but he says there's something much closer than that. We cry out Abba, Father. That word Abba means father. It means that close, intimate, close relationship. In other words, we cry out Father, Father. I want to tell you, when my kids were small, if they fell and they hurt themselves, and if I heard those two words, Daddy, Daddy, guess what? Daddy comes running. Can you say amen? Because my child is in need. And the scripture says, if I, being evil, know how to do good things for my children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father do good things to them who call upon him? He's our Abba Father, can you say amen? We have been adopted in. We are the children of God. We are his children. And he loves his children. He's done everything and does everything for his children once we are saved. Once we are saved, we have full access to Almighty God, who is our Abba Father, our Father, Father. But that he loves us so much that he gave his Son in order that we can become his sons and daughters. And that his likeness within us can begin to be restored, renewed, and increased. Because that sin separated us. As I was working on this, all of a sudden my mind went back just to get a picture of Jesus on the cross. Jesus, in his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, says, Father, we have had this fellowship from the foundation of the world. Never before, since the dawn of time, whenever that was, had Jesus ever experienced separation from his Father? Never before. Had he ever experienced being, not feeling his presence, not feeling his touch, even when he walked on the earth and went all through all the things he did? But on that cross, at that moment when God allowed my sin debt and your sin debt to be placed on him, and God had to turn his head, God had to withdraw his presence because he couldn't look on the sin, Jesus cried out, my God, my Father, why have you forsaken me? God allowed his Son to do all that, to go through that, to experience that separation, just so you and I could be adopted in and be able to cry out, Father, Father, thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace, oh God. Thank God it's just a temporary separation. Woo, because 3 days later, woo, Jesus said, it is finished. He came up out of that grave, as Adam did such an awesome job singing a little earlier, defeating death, hell, and the grave, and making a way that you and I can be saved, that you and I can once again begin to have that likeness of our Father begin to develop in us. Can you say amen? That we can become sons and daughters, that his likeness within us can begin again to be restored, renewed, and increase. Ephesians chapter 6, 4 tells us, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. We are to bring up our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, in the teaching, in the discipline, in the demonstration, so that they can know him. So when it comes to time, that they will desire to have his image and his likeness developed in their lives as well, so that they can build a relationship with him. And where do they see the first evidence of that relationship? Fathers, they need to see it in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Can you say amen? It's kind of like passing it right on down and through. Can you say amen? There's no way we can ever cover all the attributes of God in this time frame. But you and I were created in his image and in his likeness, that through faith, love, commitment and obedience, and spending time in his presence and in his word and worship and in service to him, his image and his likeness can become shining in and through our hearts and in and through our lives. I don't know about you, but I want to be a reflection of his image and of his likeness. In myself, there's absolutely no way, in my own strength, there's absolutely, in my own intellect, or whatever little that is, there's absolutely no way I can do it. But in and through Jesus Christ, I can. In and through the person and power of the Holy Spirit. I want to be a father like my Heavenly Father. I thank God for all the amazing fathers in the Bible. I thank God there's some mighty men, and they may not be a biological father, but there's some mighty men that I've seen over the years that have had a tremendous impact on my life, that have been a spiritual father. But I want to be a father that is merciful. Because Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I want to be a father that is loving. I want to be a father that's full of goodness. I want to be a father that's truthful. I want to be a father that has love for my bride. I want to be a father that has love for my children. And if I strive for these things, his image and his likeness will become seen in and through my life. And it will not only have an impact on my life, but especially on my family and on the others I come in contact with. May I have more of the likeness of my Father in my life. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, God, we